Triple M Footy's 25 moments in 25 years.
One of the things Triple M Footy is famous for is brutal honesty. When someone gets ahead of themselves, they get swiftly sat on their ass. And on the Saturday Rub, we had an entire segment to air grievances and call each other out. It got very personal. It was called 360 Degree Feedback.
Number 10.
All right, I'm going. So I'll teach you how to handle
your first
criticism.
Purple, you can open the batting.
No cross stars.
Well, Gary, back in round three, you were getting ahead of yourself and you're getting ahead of Carlton's form this year, and you decided to declare there was a big eight.
Am I allowed to?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
No.
And look, I just thought I needed to straighten you up. And I picked you up at the time. I normally don't venture into those conversations because I leave you and Danny to talk footy, but you were wrong on that occasion. And all I want out of this is just for you to say, Damien, I was wrong. There's not a big eight at Carlton. And that's all I need, and I'll be happy. That's all I need.
Because he's accepting it well.
Look at him. He can't speak.
No, he doesn't have to accept it, Dan. He needs to work on it.
But he was wrong, Danny, wasn't he? Let's face it.
You're calling us. You're
well, and I think errors have crept into his game this year, but we'll just focus on that one at the moment.
Errors have crept in.
I've felt myself having to get involved in the footy conversations more than I have in the past.
No, look at him. He's just about to. All right.
Just to straighten him up a bit.
You got some for Gaz?
Wolf, you're the ultimate double agent, mate. You're getting Foss last night, for example, fire bullets at the Channel 7 team, and then running into those very same guys that you got Foss to fire the bullets, got in the lift, keep up the good work, lads, and it goes a bit further than that. The Twitter page, no one actually gets to get the tablet, because it's all about, I'll make sure you throw Spud under the bus and JB and Warrior, and do not put a photo on that to producers unless I approve it myself. Then the quiz, then you've got the Wolf and Chewer show. It's all about making you look good. I saw it last night for the first time. Now, Chewer, when I throw this explanation, you hit with that stat, and I'll really round up what I'm saying. And this production meeting for the listeners at home goes on for 5 minutes, and just before they go on air now, Chewer, get it right. It's all about me. I was just staggered. Now, the last time I looked at our contract, it says 12 till 6. There's been a lot of 145 games. For the life of me, at 4:30, when are we having a small review? Now, we're contracted between 12 and 6. But the last one is I've done 5 Melbourne games with you this year. Oh, you've nearly shut down on 3 of them. I've got home to a notice, you guys. You look a little bit tired. I said, I'm at the drag. Every little stat, every little comment out of me skin, because the Wolf shuts down halfway through the third quarter.
Oh, no. I actually had to trawl hard to see if I could find anything on my brother, but the only thing I could come up with that I haven't mentioned before, like the it was my article. I need a break because I've carried you all so far, and all the normal sort of stuff. The only thing I could come up with, Purple, is I never thought I'd see it, because I've never come across a more alpha male in this business. A man who likes to think that he totally dominates the box and all who sit in it. But, well, I find it hard to say, but last week, I thought he was intimidated by Duck.
No!
Oh, there it is. He came in. The king wandered in, and it was... Well, I don't know what you think, Wayne. I don't know what your thoughts are, Duck.
Yes, Wayne.
Yeah, if I can get you a coffee, maybe we'd like to take a sugar with that. I've never seen it before, Purple.
As Wayne said.
That's it. So I just noticed, and I don't want our main man losing his swagger. That's all. Oh, no. He's an intimidating force, the king, but I just thought. Anyway.
All right, I'll just get to you, Jim.
Jim.
I'm just going to start.
Look at Spuddy.
I'll just give you a warm up.
Go on, give it to me.
Yep. What we like, and you just hit on it, I mean, we have a high opinion of ourselves, much to the chagrin of most other people. And what we like about it is that we just front up. We put the shoulders back, and if we cop it, we bowl into the room. And then we know they're looking at us, and we just bowl our way.
It's our duty, you told me, guys.
You've got, like Superman, you've got a kryptonite, brother.
Oh, no.
And it goes in the form of Caroline Wilson and Mickey Warner. Now, listen, I don't care what you say. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to stare them down. And we me, Spud, and even Warrior, we can't continue to fire your shots for you on those two, all right? So at some stage, just thrust the shoulders back, wander in, and stare them down.
You don't have to speak.
No, I'm speaking. Anyhow, over to you, Spud.
Well, JB, your new name is Tickets. You've got a bigger scrub than Mick Jagger at the moment. It is just unbelievable. You're more worried about getting first class on your flight over there. What about your team, your underlings, your team, man? You've got to lead by example. 2 years ago, you said, boys, someone got out of this box, and he demanded he get a car pass, a blue ticket. We get two a week. There's four here. There's five of us. There's five on a Friday night. Not once in the last 2 years. Ash Chew's done over 700 games. He's had one ticket. How he doesn't get one? Not once have I seen your car hit the grass at the MCG. Not once. Now, if that's leading by example, I'll go he.
Very good point.
And was that it?
No, at coffee last night. You talk about leading by example. Make three coffees and you bring two in. One for yourself, one for Gaz. I'm sitting there like a bowl of chop leader. Oh, yeah, Spud, yours are still outside. So if that's a leader, I will go he.
Right.
The other thing is, your brother's 40th. Any chance you can ring just at some stage?
Oh, no.
He tries to ring for a couple of footy tickets. He's got to ring your older brother to get footy tickets. Oh, no, but if it was Punter or Demetrio or Wolf or Ed or Gil McLaughlin, I'll get right back to you, boys. The other thing that really irks the footy show boys at Channel 9 is the Brett Kirk tagging performance of one lone wolf. You know, Gaz will be at the meeting. Gaz will turn up, close the book, walk out. Okay, that's enough. I'll walk out. There's Gaz. Gaz, you want a coffee? Gaz, you want this? Mate,
we've already done that joke, buddy.
No, you're the president of North Melbourne. You're the president of North Melbourne. Be
What's
your
already
own
been
man.
Done?
No,
right, have you finished?
I have.
Right.
Spud, listen to me, man. When you ask a question, that is normally the signal for other people to answer it, not yourself. Spud, how many times have you said, you know what Hawthorn's problem is? I'll tell you what it is. Let someone else answer it, Spud. And this is my last point on this. If you come in one more time at this time of the year and bore the shit out of me about the Tour de France tell me who's going to win and where the peloton's going and how come Lance Armstrong... if he reels those names off... I don't care, Spud. I hate cycling. Tell your other boring mates. I'm not interested. And if you wear your pants any higher, you're gonna strangle yourself, Spud. Pull them down, for God's sake, man. You're embarrassing us all.
Oh, no. Purple.
Listen, I've got to cut short too, but it's all about you, isn't it? It's always all about you. On Wednesday, the Wednesday rub, you, me, came in for JB's and Bill's show.
Yes.
You acted surprised when JB on air said, Spud, you're at the Bungaree Club today looking after the kids. Why did you act surprised? Because you sent the email to JB telling him to ask you
about himself.
No, he did he not. Did. Oh, no,
it's all
not.
About me.
He sent an email about himself. Spud, I need to wait in here. We like to go out for dinner together. Yeah. We have a good time. But when we go to the Railway Steakhouse as a group and there's Shane Crawford and Gary Lyon and myself and Purple and everyone else, we only want to hear a couple of stories about St Kilda. We don't want 4 hours' worth. And Craig Davenport did this. And bloody old, what's his name, did this. But just one's enough. And then poor old Crawford. Croft gets in the car. He cops another three between the Royal House and Brighton. Spud, just the one story. That's all we ever need. And by the way,
me and Louie.
Andrew Demetriou got hold of me a week ago. Said, can you ask Spud next time you see him if he ever plans to come to work before midday? The middle Brighton bars see more of our Coaches Association head than we do.
Come on, Spud.
And the final one from me. Strong opinions what this show is based around.
Yeah.
Spud, yours is only strong until you hear Gary's. And then suddenly yours seems to remarkably change.
Still to come on Triple M Footy's 25 Moments in 25 Years, Tip Rat. And BT goes one-on-one with a gymnastics superstar.
No, do you comment in?
Triple M Footy's 25 Moments in 25 Years. Triple M Footy's 25 Moments in 25 Years.
G'day, Howie here. Buddy Franklin is box office. He is a bums-on-seat style operator. He will crack 1,000 goals. But this elimination final back in 2007 was where the Big Bud announced himself on the big stage.
Number 9. Buddy Franklin emerges.
It's out on the ball. Now, Hawthorn have got a couple of throws. They need to get the ball moving around the arc here, and they'll score. Inside the last minute.
40 seconds, JB.
40 seconds. Crawford motioning he's going to go long. Ladson, and then he goes short to Ladson. Ladson, two kicks from goal. Inside the last 30 seconds. Low ball, Franklin. Oh, buddy, long. He's kicked six. And he will go back almost on the siren.
We've got 10 seconds on the unofficial clock,
oh, my Lord. It is going to be after the siren, this kick.
A point makes
it a tie. A draw wins them the game. Siren about to sound. Buddy Franklin. Can he make an all-time legend of himself? Six already.
Buddy,
he's on the way. He's there. Buddy Franklin, you are a superstar. Siren about to go. He has kicked his team into the second week of the final.
Oh boy, Hawthorn are going to get up. Siren must sound at any minute. It's there. The siren's going to sound.
What a win.
Hawthorn has won.
Oh, Buddy Franklin.
Buddy Franklin has kicked the goal with 7 seconds on the clock. And Hawthorn has won.
Triple M Footy's 25 moments in 25 years.
So, Duck, what about all the worst on ground awards? You weren't playing at the time, but you were giving the votes. How did you go about giving those votes out?
Yeah, I think if you had a little bit of fun around it, that was the key. It was never meant to be a really serious thing that you gave out, but, you know, often you could give it to a whole team or, you know, it might be a coaching move, so you could mix it up a bit, but it was always a little uncomfortable.
It's amazing how many players actually drove home from the ground listening to see if they featured, I won't say names, but Josh Fraser, every week listening on, and if he got named, he was fuming. I know I featured a couple of times and very, very flat.
I used to enjoy listening to him driving out. I was probably lucky. I don't think I ever voted in the worst
player
on grounds. But I know that guys like Rixey and a few of them got a few votes, but he took it really well. If you could take it with a bit of grain of salt, it was okay. Mm. Sometimes there were a couple of the commentators, Duck, that maybe got a little bit too serious with it, but that was all good fun.
Number 8. Worst on ground votes.
Just the set that you've got, Gary.
Yeah, it is. He always gets what he does every time.
I used to drive home and listen to this crap.
Every time, Dust.
Okay, 2 votes to Brad Johnson.
What?
Oh, you can't.
No.
Gee, that's an outrage.
May have just shot Bambi.
You have shot Bambi.
This one really hurts, mate.
Oh, nice, but you're going to give it to us because the drum bloke playing the drums running out of drums.
Well, I'm giving it to the skipper, Chris Newman.
Oh!
Campbell Brown only had 3 touches.
Oh, no!
He'll knock you out.
No, fair enough. Bring it on.
Geez. He's been waiting for this moment all night. He loves this.
I don't like doing this, by the way, but one vote, very quickly, Barry Hall.
Oh, what?
Just had a frustrating night, Big Barry.
Looking forward to getting out in the car park.
I'm walking with you, blokes. Yeah. Just wait for me, boys.
And 3 votes. I don't know if he's ever had it before.
I reckon he kicked.
He's in the car listening. Can you please turn the channel quick? Lance Franklin, 3 votes.
Oh.
Bang.
He definitely won't return my calls.
None of them do.
You know, it's hard to give 2 votes to a bloke when he gets knocked out, but Xavier. Xavier Ellis tonight at 24 touches, to be honest. A hell of a lot of them were ineffective. He's the captain of the Hawthorn Football Club. Sam Mitchell.
And 3 votes. Can you please not tell him? 3 to Jonathan Brown.
Oh, no. He couldn't put a foot right tonight, and that was Murphy.
Can he go?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here. Colin Sylvie, 3 votes.
Give a call. He'll be down the car park waiting for you.
I almost put the Duke in. Well, it might be all right on 10.
200 gamer, Gary.
He's a Poindexter in this box with you up the front.
Hey, I know I am, but I'm backing the Duke.
And I go 3 to Barry Hall.
Oh.
Quick, let's get out of here.
Oh, boy.
I gave 3 votes to a bloke that had 6 kicks and 4 of them were no good.
Oh, that's... You
did he not kicked look one,
he kicked one behind, oh, and he had no impact. Leon Davis.
Captain Obvious, you know.
Well, you call him as you see him.
I can't argue with it, though.
I'll tell you what. That's a man, Duke, who used to get an absolute armchair ride in this box.
Yes.
No, but since a certain bloke's left, it's become open season.
Triple M Footy's 25 Moments in 25 Years.
Back in the early 90s, BT used to work on radio station 3UZ. He's interviewed all sorts of sporting greats. And on the Saturday Rub, we managed to track down some of the audio. Our absolute favourite was when he interviewed a very famous Romanian gymnast.
Number 7, BT's Vault.
What I want you to do here is have a listen to just the way, the warmth with which she gets around Bristol's line of questioning and Bristol's own sort of ponderances mid-interview. Have a listen.
5 seconds, Nadia Comaneci. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, our next guest burst onto the scene way back in 1976, and she really captured the world's imagination and won many hearts around the world with her fantastic performance in the world of gymnastics in the 1976 Montreal Olympic Games. I speak of probably the greatest gymnast of all time, Nadia Comaneci. Good morning to you, Nadia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, Nadia, whereabouts are you living now, and what are you doing with yourself now?
So I'm living in Montreal in Canada, and I have a lot of project to do.
What, sorry, Nadia?
Yes.
Yeah. What about Bella Caroli? What, why did you end up splitting up in that partnership coach-gymnast relationship?
When you mean in 78?
Yes, after the Olympics.
Because the government split us.
Right, so it was no fault of either of you. It was the government that.
It was a decision. You have no comment.
So you were forced to go to Bucharest.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Was it true that in your first international competition that you failed badly?
First international competition?
Yeah, before 1976 Montreal Games, in one of your big competitions that you only, I think, scored 7.25 on the beam. Was that true?
Yeah, this was when I had 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was...
Did you feel like giving up then or not?
Why? I didn't start gymnastics for win medals.
Mm.
I start because I love to do gymnastics.
What about you?
My hard work, I became an Olympic champion.
Mm. Was it ever possible that Romania, there was some talk that Romania may have not competed at the Montreal Olympics. Did that ever occur to you?
If Romania didn't compete at the 76 Olympics?
Yeah.
I didn't understand the question.
Yeah, what there was some talk officially whether Romania were going to let their team go and compete in the Montreal Olympics in 76 because they didn't feel that they were good enough. Did you know anything?
I didn't hear anything about this.
Mm. What about when you were training in the lead up to the 1976 games and the lead up to the World Championships, especially between the Montreal and the World Championships, you became a little bit older, as you say. You grow up into a lady.
Yeah.
Did what about boys and boyfriends and parties? Do you think that you missed out on a lot of that?
The boys?
Yeah.
No, because I have time now. It's something that I didn't regret. I'm very happy that I did this and I chose to be to do gymnastics because you have all the time for the boys.
Yeah, that's right. You got the rest of your life.
The boys don't leave the country. My boys.
Plenty of fish in the sea, you think?
Uh-huh.
What about yourself? Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Are you planning to be married?
Yeah, I'm a normal person. I'm planning to be married. I'm planning to have a family, of course, but when the time comes.
We know you're very busy, and best of luck with whatever you do, and you really have been one of the greatest athletes and certainly the greatest gymnast of all time. Thank you, Nadia Comaneci.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope to see you in Australia when I will be there, okay? Oh,
yeah. Thank you very much, Nadia.
With pleasure.
Brutal. Seriously.
Now, listen. There'll be no more of this.
Yeah, Damo.
That's better.
Two takeouts for me. Yeah. Firstly, the pronunciation of his surname, Nadia Comaneci.
That's what it was.
And then he talks about how she had a disappointing meet prior to the Olympics. She said, I was only nine. And then Bristol said, did you think about giving up?
And then
9 years of age.
And then she said, no. And he goes,
It can't be any more.
And then wanted to go real deep in current affairs style and delve into her private life.
Are there plenty more fish in the sea?
Triple M Footy's 25 moments in 25 years.
Joey, the beauty of Triple M Footy is the commentators and the way they get around certain players. One of your ex-teammates, the Tip Right!
Milne, they could certainly make players cult heroes, couldn't they? I mean, JB's calling of Milne was unbelievable. And I think it all started with he was the front and square, he was in everything. And that last game that Milne played was the same day as Jason Blake and Cozzy's last game, and we beat Fremantle easily, and it was just a really enjoyable game of footy. Brayshaw was lapping it up, and every time Milne went near the footy, he was just called the tip rat, and we used to give Milne a little tip rat at training, and Milne was the type of guy that he loved all that attention, so he didn't mind JB calling him all that.
Number 6, Tip Rat's last game.
Goes with a bouncing ball, only as far as Gilbert. Robertson back to Gilbert. Gilbert high inside 50. Schneider at the back. A big fly. Here it comes. Tip Rat. Runs in.
Get out of here,
full eating of the carcass from the Tip Rat Mill. That's what we're here to do. The little champ hits the scoreboard. He had to regurgitate some and do some more chewing. Tip Rat Mill. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, they're still clapping. Look at this.
Of course they are.
Fantastic scenes here at the Etihad Stadium.
Triple M Footy's 25 moments in 25 years.